Here. Man, don't Bogart it.
Yeah, it was a bridge that carries a highway over the Cuyahoga Valley National Park in the Brecksville area of Cleveland, about 15 miles southeast of downtown. And they planted what they believed to be explosives at the base of the bridge, and then they armed them. Only you can't arm something that isn't explosive in the first place. And then they went to a remote spot and entered the codes that they thought would blow up the bridge with innocent people traveling over it, U.S. Attorney Stephen Dettelbach said. They were all dummies, of course, and they were goaded into it by an FBI informant. See, this is what passes for law enforcement when your nation has gone from republic to empire to fascist state. In the absence of real threats, they will gin some up so as to keep the people in a heightened state of fear. Of course, it's also convenient that these were said to be anarchists, and they tried to, they probably thought well of Occupy or something. You should see the pictures of these goobers.
Here. We need a bong. Zarsh.
Special Agent Stephen V. Anthony, overseeing the Cleveland Division of the FBI, said, "The individuals charged in this plot were intent on using violence to express their ideological views. The Joint Terrorism Task Force will continue to be vigilant in its efforts to detect and disrupt any terrorism threat, domestic or international." Whether they're actually threats or a bunch of high guys sitting around going, "Here. Oh, wow, I've got the coolest idea." No, they tried to palm it off on Occupy. Occupy Cleveland immediately released a statement saying, "Occupy Cleveland has from the very start espoused peaceful, nonviolent, direct action. These alleged actions taken by these people were completely autonomous." Because, see, this is how crackdowns happen. Let's see, what was the phrase after the Reichstag fire? Das ist die Arbeit von Kommunisten. Even though there were no Kommunistens involved in the Arbeit that was the Reichstag fire. But, you know, just let it be a lesson to you. The FBI is not the only organization that has to be alert and be vigilant. If you happen to be a member of some organization that is trying to bring about positive, nonviolent social change, be on the alert for the noob who comes in and says, "Oh, y'all are like doing great stuff, you know, I really dig it. Oh, this is cool. Here, you know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to blow some shit up. That's what we need to do. Who here wants to blow some shit up? Like, you know, leave the town and, like, rubble, you know, to express our anarchist views? Come on, everybody with me." See, when that guy starts talking, you know he's a rat. He's a fed. He's some sort of cop. And what you do is you say, "Hey, you know what? We're so proud you decided to join us, man. Your work is going to be so important. I tell you what, would you go and alphabetize those phone books? We really need our phone books alphabetized. Go do that. Oh, man, you are such an important part of the movement. Everybody's going to remember that you alphabetized those phone books." And when you're done with that, alphabetize the Rolodexes. They're bad. And then alphabetize the... alphabetize the mailing lists. I mean, we are severely in disarray for our contact list, so we badly, you know, this is work that's needed to be done, and you're just the one to do it. And you just give them meaningless job after meaningless job after meaningless job after meaningless job. Because the whole goal is to insinuate into the process so as to stop the valuable, nonviolent, good work that is taking place. Hey, look, let's go plant these on the bridge pier. I mean, that guy over there, he gave them to us. He said he'd plant them himself, but, you know, like, he can't carry that much that far, so we'll do it. And then, of course, Bill, Mr. Stress from Cleveland, noting, hell, Bob, there are some bridges in the Cleveland area that are in bad enough condition, all you need is a group that can push. And, of course, the infrastructure got that way. Why? Oh, yeah, that's right, Mitt Romney needed a tax break. Charming, huh? Don't you love it? No, this is, if Thursday is thorn in the side, I guess Tuesday is too weird for words. That's just one of them. This story has a little bit of age on it, but it is valuable just the same because, lo and behold, it happens there and it comes back here. Now, this story comes out of Tennessee, and nobody understands better than David in Tennessee and that these things happen. But here's the interesting thing. They got it right. They didn't get it wrong. Some ignorant twit of a girl, and I'm sorry, it's not she's ignorant and a twit because she's a girl, but she's a girl who's ignorant and a twit. Do you remember the story a couple of weeks back about all the proud sons of Confederate heritage that was upset that there was a museum done opened up in Virginia, the Oldie Dominion? And there's a museum opened up, the first damn thing you saw when you walked in there, hoping to go in, take your hat off, and honor the revered memory of the treasonous Robert E. Lee and the treasonous James Longstreet and the treasonous Johnston and Johnson and Braxton Bragg and all them other treasonous sons of bitches that started the War of the Rebellion, that treasonous P.G.T. Beauregard, Pierre Gustave Tuton. All them treasonous bastards, you're hoping to walk in the door and pay them a little bit of honor, and there's a damn drag queen, a cut-out life-size of a drag queen in a sparkly, sequined, Confederate flag evening dress. It was disrespectful, I tell you. And them sons of proud Confederate heritage, why, they let folks know how outraged they were. Never mind the fact that it was explained that the reason that RuPaul was there in the dress was to point out the fact that there are appropriate ways to display a flag and inappropriate ones. Of course, I personally think the Confederate flag is most appropriately displayed when it is on fire or being trampled underfoot by free people. Well, okay, so there's that. Well, fast forward a few weeks to Gibson County, Tennessee. Gibson County, Tennessee, over in the western end of the state. I think we had a Gibson County, Tennessee story some while back. Wasn't it in Gibson County, Tennessee? Wasn't that where the gay couple was threatened to be beat within an inch of their life by the minister of the Son of the Prince of Peace there at the church? Wasn't that Gibson County, Tennessee? Well, in this case, Gibson County, Tennessee got it right because there's an ignorant twit of a girl who wanted to go to her prom a wearing of a Confederate flag prom dress. The ignorant 18-year-old's name, she's 18 years old, so we can mention the ignoramus's name. Or would she be an ignorama? Latin, feminine. Yeah, okay. Ignorama. Ignorama's real name is Texana Edwards. Oh, please. Texana Lou, you come here right now. I'm going to blister your hide. Texana Edwards, 18 years old, and dumber than an effing post. She told everybody ahead of time that she was going to wear her Confederate flag prom gown to her prom, and the school officials said, no, you can't. The school district there in Gibson County, Tennessee, said that the prom gown would in fact be offensive and inappropriate. Now, in the fighting spirit of her Confederate forebears, Texana Edwards said, "To hell with the rules and to hell with the law. I'm a going in my Confederate prom gown, anywho's." And so she did. And she got to the prom, and the folks at the prom said, "Young Missy, you just turn right around. You can go and you can change out of your Confederate prom gown and put on something decent and come on in and just dance the night away, but you ain't coming in wearing that trash." But she was proud of her heritage. Texana Ignorama Edwards was. She's proud of her heritage. And she wouldn't go into that prom less than she could wear her hate dress. Because, you know, she done had it made, custom and everything. Oh, for heaven's sakes. The teacher had already told her, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. Why ruin prom? And see, that's the way it is with these little conservatives, these Confederates, these right-wingers. They don't care about anybody but themselves. I mean, the teacher said, you know, why do you want to ruin prom for other people? Don't wear it. You pretty girl. You're a pretty girl, Texana Ignorama Edwards. You're a pretty girl, the teacher lied. You can just wear something else. But Texana Ignorama Edwards, she's steeped in her Confederate heritage. And she thought she's pretty sure she had a constitutional, if not God-given, right to wear her Confederate battle flag. But she showed up, and they said no. And so she's very upset because her rights was trampled on. Because she's got states' rights to wear a flag across her, well, never mind that she'd be taken out by Jefferson Davis and personally horsewhipped for the disrespect inherent in wearing the flag across and around and over and under her nasty girly places. No, I don't know. Rhett Butler would probably have to take her upstairs or something. Oh, it's just disgusting. Just whoop her. Funny thing is, the same sort of thing had happened, yeah, absolutely, onward to dystopia. I bet her parents were so proud of her. Well, they had to be because they let her out the door in it. Now, honey, you take it. You go ahead. Yeah, we're proud of you, honey. That is a beautiful dress on you, Texana Ignorama. That's a beautiful dress. You just get on in the Trans Am and go on to your prom, but be back before midnight or the Trans Am will turn back into a 72 Dodge Dart with three wheels. Pocket a pocket a pocket a pocket. But they've been down this road. In 2006, another ignoramus in Tennessee had been suspended from school for wearing the Confederate battle flag. And they didn't let him. And so he sued the school and said, "You're a trampling of my First Amendment rights. For I am proudly displaying my Confederate heritage." see, these self-absorbed assholes don't realize that it has nothing to do with heritage. For a whole lot of millions of people, it has to do with memories of hate and night riders and strange fruit swinging from trees and signs that say, don't let the sun set on you here. It is a symbol of hatred, no less than the crooked cross that flew for how many years over Germany? And when Cletus T. Dingledick took his case to the court and said, they wouldn't let me wear my Confederate flag T-shirt and they're trampling on my state's rights, the court said, get the out of here. Schools have an absolute right, the court held, to have certain de minimis rules of decorum that will prevent the school and the learning experience from devolving into chaos. In that particular case, the judge made the holding that one could reasonably assume that the Confederate battle flag was so racially charged that substantial disruption could happen within the school environment. The judge was right. And so there's Gibson County, Tennessee, trying to follow the law, but Texana ignorama, well, she don't care about no law. She got her a Confederate flag dress. I mean, maybe her boyfriend was coming as General Lee, or maybe they had the General Lee in the parking lot and you hit the horn and you know, maybe it's got big ears and buggy eyes and banjos and shit. But I tell you that because Tennessee got it right. On the other hand, it is prom season. And prom season happens all over the United States. It's a major high school holiday. It's you know, in small towns, it's a big business boost about this time of year, as the young ladies go out looking for what are generally really terrible dresses. Not that I know a hell of a lot about them, but I know tasteful and I know tacky, and tacky rules the day by about 98% to 2%. And lo and behold, up here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by God, Virginia, what's left of it, we's going to have us a prom, too. And I reckon the word, or else it's in the water, I reckon the word of Texana Ignorama Edwards has spread. Because now he's going to have us a statement up here to the high school my children attend. I was informed this afternoon that one of my daughter's classmates has her a Confederate flag dress that she's going to wear to prom. And she's going to be so proud. Now here's the sad thing. Here's the difference between, say, Gibson County, Tennessee, and Fayette County, West Virginia. Texana Ignorama Edwards didn't get to wear her Confederate flag gown to her promenade. Prom is short for promenade, is it not? No, she didn't. But I'll bet you, and I ain't got it to bet with, but I'll bet you $1 to $5 that whoever, if she's not actually, then she is the spiritual cousin of Texana Ignorama Edwards, will get to wear. I mean, she'll walk in and they'll clap and hoot and holler and whistle. And if there just happens to be a couple of people of color somewhere in the room, well, they can just shut the hell up. Right? Yeah. vacation, I will be honestly and truly glad. Well, we're already homeschooling Ferg. Margie's a senior. She'll graduate soon. And we are seriously considering homeschooling our youngest. I can't. Agnes, never mind me. Agnes can't take it anymore. The stupid that is, you know, last night we were talking a little bit about how ignorant Flush Flimball was and how he didn't understand things like ice cores. And thank you, Dr. John. Thank you very kindly for the affirmation email. Dr. John wrote in a little bit earlier today listening to the podcast from last night. And Flush Flimball's, my friends, for the sake of discussion, he said, I just caught Limbaugh in your conjuration. He's threading a needle there for his fundy audience. And even then, he probably lost a few. On climate history, look at ice cores and tree rings for crying out loud, says Dr. John. And you just mentioned ice cores, Bob. Plus one for that. Those little moments of affirmation are so good. And they mean so much. And see, that doesn't happen a lot around here. Rather like ice cores themselves, you know, that was snow on top of snow on top of snow on top of snow, because it never all fully melted, and it just stacked and stacked and stacked and stacked together. Well, the same thing happens with miserable right-wing horse crap here. It stacks and it stacks and it stacks, and it stinks and it stinks and it stinks. And, you know, it's our anniversary, so we're getting along very nicely. So I'm hearing the story about the Confederate flag gown. And Agnes looks at me and says, oh, no, you don't. So I guess, no, I don't. I don't know. Would there be any harm in an anonymous call to the school board to say, listen, I hear there's going to be an ignorant girl wearing a Confederate flag dress at the Midland Trail prom. Could you look into it? That has no business in a public school. Yeah, onward to dystopia, I agree. Why can't these people display the Confederate flag while walking, say, through the black part of town? Effing cowards. Well, they are. That's why. And, Marty noting, and the dresses cost an arm, a leg, and a vital organ or two. Oh, God, they're expensive. And one of the things, you only find these things out when you've got teenagers. Now, back in the dim, dark mists of time when I was involved in such things, although because of the religious persuasion of our high school principal and that of the other principal, the two high schools in town were not allowed to have proms. We had junior-senior banquets because there could be no dancing on publicly owned school property because the local religious authorities dictated, their word was more important than that of the Constitution. But, you know, tuxes, guys, black, right? Black tux, white shirt, cummerbund, you know, bow tie, whatever. No. Now, the thing is, apparently, for the young lady to explain to her date what color she is wearing, and then the date is supposed to match her dress. And, you know, there I am trying to teach her, you know, I've got nothing to teach my daughters about style. It's kind of outside my bailiwick. But I can teach my son to hand tie a bow tie. I would hazard a guess that he's probably one person around here who knows how to do that. And I can teach him which way the cummerbund goes, and when you wear one of those, or you don't wear one with a double-breasted, blah, 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 blah. And I remember him telling me, no, son, no, 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 no. Well, you know, so-and-so's wearing a white one. No! No, really, no. Repeat after me, son. black tux, white shirt. Black tux, white shirt. It's how it works. So I can only wonder what this young woman's date will be wearing. Maybe he'll be wearing the Confederate flag, not the battle flag. Maybe he'll be wearing a Confederate flag tux. Jesus Christ. So, it's Tuesday. Too weird to be true Tuesday. And there's, Lord knows, there is more. They are, these weirdos are so far out in the open. They are so fearless now. They are so proud of their hate. That they broadcast it. You've got, granted, they tried to disappear it down the memory hole, but they were not successful. The creeps over at Newsmuck, a guy there named John L. Perry, did you see this? Openly advocating for a military coup against the President of the United States of America. John L. Perry advocating a military dictatorship in the United States. This is what patriot John L. Perry has to say, even though they disappeared it. There is a remote, although gaining, possibility America's military will intervene as a last resort to resolve the Obama problem. Don't dismiss it as unrealistic. America isn't the third world. If a military coup does occur here, it will be civilized. Yeah, civilized. Just like setting off 5 million pounds of high explosives a day on communities in southern West Virginia. That's civilized. Civilized, right. It'll be civilized. That it has never happened doesn't mean it won't. We are getting our logic lessons from the right wing in the last two nights. Last night we had Rush Limbaugh saying, I can't bring him back to life, therefore I did not kill him. Basically. And now we've got, just because we've never had a military coup before doesn't mean one can't happen now. Please, Jesus, let it happen. Get that man out of the White House. Describing what may be afoot is not to advocate it. But, you know, if you're a real journalist and you've got evidence of this, it needs to be brought to the public's attention so that the treasonous generals in question can be dealt with, because we have a civilian form of government. We just do. Describing what may be afoot is not to advocate it, so view the following through military eyes. Officers swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Unlike enlisted personnel, they do not swear to obey the orders of the President of the United States. Top military officers can see the Constitution they are sworn to defend being trampled as American institutions and enterprises are nationalized. Which ones? Because the Affordable Care Act certainly hasn't nationalized anything. Jesus, that's a profit machine for the for-profit healthcare industry. And I'll never let the facts get in the way of a stupid argument, right? They can see that Americans are increasingly alarmed that this nation, under President Barack Obama, may not even be recognizable as America by the 2012 election, in which he will surely seek continuation in office. Yes, he will, and don't call us Shirley. They can see that the economy, ravaged by deficits, taxes, unemployment, and impending inflation. Yeah, the inflation is still impending, hasn't gotten here yet. It's just sort of happening inside John L. Perry, inside those sloppy, thin gray settlings that pass for brains that slosh back and forth between his ears. Impending inflation is financially reliant on foreign lender governments. Like it always has been. Because the debt of the United States is what supports the United States. And that debt has always been deemed to be rock solid. And that's why other countries invest in things like American Treasury bonds and so forth. But let's not confuse John L. Perry with basic economic theory. Why bother? And let's not confuse him with the fact that the deficits and the deficits were run up by one George W. Pinhead Bush, who waged two and possibly three or four wars off the books. No, let's don't do that. Let's not talk about the right wing, the right wing created the flim flam bunco scam that was the deregulation of the financial industry that led to the credit default swap and the housing bubble and blah, 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 blah. Let's not tell John L. Perry about that either. He's happy in his little world. Capricorn, 2413. Carousel awaits. He continues. They can see this president. These are, remember, we're looking through military eyes. Apparently, really, really weird right-wing military eyes. They can see this president waging undeclared war on the intelligence community. Gee, I thought he was waging undeclared war on people in Yemen. Without whose rigorous and independent functions, you know, like torture and waterboarding, the armed services are rendered blind in an ever more hostile world overseas and at home. They can see the dismantling of defenses against missiles targeted at this nation by avowed enemies, even as America's troop strength is allowed to sag. Gee, who broke the military? John L. Perry. Who sent soldiers on deployment after deployment after deployment after deployment? Who had, as a matter of example, the Louisiana National Guard and its boats in the middle of the Iraqi desert when Katrina hit? Who was that? Oh, yeah, that was Barack Hussein Obama, wasn't it, John L. Perry? No, sorry. That was George W. Don't Give a Damn About Black Folks Bush. They can see the horror of major warfare erupting simultaneously in two and possibly three far-flung theaters before America can react in time. In other words, Barack Obama is not starting the war like George W. Bush did, and we all know that right-wingers like to start the war even if the war don't need starting. They can see the nation's safety and their own military establishments and honor, oh, that honor, placed in jeopardy as never before. Jeopardy? I'll take stupid wars of choice for $1,000, Alex. What is George W. Bush? Yes. So if you're one of those observant military professionals, what do you do? My Carl Malden is not better. He used to do American Express commercials. You're in a foreign country. Your cash has all been stolen. What do you do? What do you do? Wait until this president bungles into losing the war in Afghanistan and Pakistan's arsenal of nuclear bombs falls into the hands of militant Islam? Yeah, it was a heck of a bungle taking out that there Osama bin Laden. Now, I have issues with it, but it weren't exactly a bungle, now, were it? You know, John Kennedy, after the Bay of Pigs, said, success has 1,000 fathers, but failure is an orphan. And stepped up and took responsibility for the Bay of Pigs, even though sole responsibility for the Bay of Pigs was not his. But no. That's how weird this world is. Now we live in a world where Barack Obama is not even allowed to have success. And you've got Willard Romney running around out there. Well, I would have blowed him. I would have had him killed, too. I would have, really. I would have killed him. Realized to killed him and killed him and killed him some more and killed him. Even though in 2007 he said he wasn't much interested in killing Osama bin Laden. And he really said that. I love the snide turn that he took yesterday. I mean, well, even Jimmy Carter would have made that call. Even Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter ordered a helicopter raid on Iran to try to free the hostages. It was not Jimmy Carter's fault that defense contractors built shitty helicopters that got choked to death by sand. But again, see above, failure is an orphan. And Jimmy Carter was man enough to take responsibility. Which is not something Republicans have ever been much good at, to say. Wait until Israel is forced to launch airstrikes on Iran's nuclear bomb plants and the Middle East explodes, destabilizing or subjugating the free world? John L. Perry, I hate to break it to you, buddy, but the Middle East exploded about 9 years ago when George started his war of choice. Remember your buddy Rumfield when he said that it was going to be that it would be welcomed as liberators? You remember that, John L. Perry? And the entire region was destabilized, just like George W.'s daddy said it would be when he refused to take out Saddam? Yeah, that one. What happens if the generals Obama sent to win the Afghan war are told by this president, who now says, I'm not interested in victory, that they will be denied troops they must have to win? Do they follow orders they cannot carry out, consistent with their oath of duty? Do they resign en masse, or do they soldier on, hoping the 2010 congressional elections will reverse it? What? Jesus, these idiots. Imagine a bloodless coup to restore and defend the Constitution through an interim administration that would do the serious business of governing and defending the nation. Skilled, military-trained nation builders would replace accountability-challenged radical left commissars. Having bonded with his twin teleprompters, the president would be detailed for ceremonial speech making. Wow. They're out there and they're openly fantasizing this stuff now. Some of them probably masturbate while they do it. They have completely lost what passes for their itsy bitsy teensy tiny tiny little minds. They're just gone. And I guess what's more important, they have no conception whatsoever of who is responsible for the mess. You know, Sandra noting, Jimmy Carter was a Navy officer. What was Romney's military service? Nothing. Draft-dodging idiot. And that phrase, civilized coup, Marty noting, yeah, like the coup in Chile. Was civilized. Yeah, helicopter trip there, a helicopter trip here. Man, pretty soon dissent gets pretty quiet. Jesus, it's stupid. It hurts. And that's not all the stupid we have. We have tons of stupid. Hither, thither, and beyond. and too weird Tuesday. I think we're smack dab in the middle of it. And we just, you know, I guess it's like dropping acid, and you just got to wait for the trip to end, and things will get back to normal, and the walls will quit breathing, right? Although it's kind of hard to take that ride, isn't it? So we'll take a little break, and we'll come back on the way. Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen with the Green News Report. And, of course, your calls are always welcome. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Light up the phones. Don't wait till the end of the program. Well, I didn't get on. Light up the phones. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, H-E-A-D-O-N, head on. If you've got some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan or it doesn't cost you anything to call, 304-658-3333 is the direct dial number. You can also reach the program via email at Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Okie dokie? Okie dokie. So we'll be right back. Light them up. This is the horn.
He's a new fashioned imperialist. He may not have a mill, but he has a lot of grist. Chinese convict labor.
Preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. the Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Mayday, mayday, mayday.
It's May 1st, 2012.
New poll shows Americans want clean energy and are willing to pay for it.
We heard today about fishing regulations. I'll continue to learn more about those regulations as they affect this industry.
Mitt Romney, still unclear on the concept of overfishing. Meet the nation's newest oil spill, now in Louisiana. Big oil rolls in taxpayer dough, but America's wind industry begs for scraps. Plus,
these things are poster children, we're told, for addressing global warming. Now they're being done.
No, Fox News, wind farms do not cause global warming.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
What is the intent of the environmentalist community, really?
The environmentalists have never liked progress. They've never liked capitalism. This is a long-running plot. Quite frankly, concocted in the minds of Karl Marx and Frederick Engels.
That's what it is. Happy May Day, comrades. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, we have heard now for months and years how divided this nation is. But once again, we have yet another new poll that shows that this nation is not divided after all, that this nation agrees on things like clean energy, regulating carbon, and being willing to pay for it.
Indeed they are, but more on that in a moment. First, unclear on the concept of overfishing. That's GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney, who in a campaign appearance in Portsmouth, New Hampshire on Monday, attacked the Obama administration's new catch limits and other regulations aimed at recovering commercial fishing stocks in the North Atlantic that have crashed in recent years.
Across America, regulators just multiplying like proverbial rabbits. And making it harder and harder for enterprises to grow and to understand what their future might be.
So he's upset about the regulations that are meant to keep the fish alive so that the industry can continue?
Yes. So when he learns more about overfishing, maybe he'll hear about the last time, 20 years ago, when U.S. fishery regulations were implemented too late to save the commercial fishing industry from itself, when massive overfishing caused the permanent commercial collapse of the North Atlantic cod fishery.
Good Lord.
ExxonMobil says it's cleaning up a small oil spill from a pipeline in Louisiana. It's only 80,000 gallons of crude. This newest oil spill comes on the heels of a new report this week that criticizes regulatory oversight of the nation's oil and gas pipeline industry. The new report from the National Wildlife Federation finds that underfunded federal, state, and local regulators generally give pipeline companies great leeway in most cases, allowing the industry to regulate and inspect itself. A spokeswoman for the Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration says they have requested more funding from Congress to hire additional inspectors.
But we know how regulations kill industry, so who needs it?
Also on Capitol Hill, the American wind energy industry is on the ropes. While Big Oil has successfully fought off all attempts to repeal its billions in permanent taxpayer subsidies, America's wind energy industry is losing its production tax credit when it expires at the end of this year. A bipartisan coalition of industry and business groups are calling on the Republican-controlled Congress to extend this production tax credit. They say that the threat of expiration is already shutting down factories and jobs in the U.S. wind industry. Democratic Representative Peter Welch of Vermont says this uncertainty for investors is already hurting U.S. global competitiveness.
This production tax credit is really, really essential to give us a chance to compete against where a lot of wind technology is being exported, and that's to China.
So the Republicans are set to allow this tax credit to expire?
If they don't agree to take action, it will expire in December.
And isn't that the equivalent in their minds of raising taxes? And isn't that exactly what they fight against for the oil industry?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I guess raising taxes is in the eye of the legislator.
Speaking of hot air, Fox News thinks it's found a new cause for global warming.
There's a new study dealing a blow to all of these wind turbines the taxpayers are backing. It shows wind farms are fueling higher temperatures on the ground. Imagine that. These things are poster children, we're told, for address the global warming. Now they're contributing to it?
No, Neil Cavuto, they're not. That's yet another lie from Fox News misrepresenting a new study from the journal Nature Climate Change that found nighttime temperatures are 1 degree Fahrenheit higher at the base of wind turbines, and that's just due to mixing of the air. The scientists explicitly state in their study, wind farms do not contribute to global warming.
I cannot believe that Fox is misrepresenting climate data.
And yet, clean energy is exactly what Americans want to see more of. That's according to a new poll, a joint project of Yale University and George Mason University, that found a strong majority of Americans want their tax dollars to go toward research and development of clean energy. 75% of Americans support regulating carbon dioxide emissions. 65% support the U.S. signing on to an international treaty to cut emissions. 61% support a carbon tax.
So all the things the Republicans have told us the country is against, it turns out they're in favor of. Who could have guessed it? For all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Coming up on 2 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. I'm Bob Kincaid. You can, of course, listen to The Horn in a variety of different ways. Available as a podcast at iTunes or at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Your choice entirely. iTunes Radio, Stitcher runs the podcast and the live programming. As does the live programming is available also at TuneIn Radio, Tuner Internet Radio. My goodness gracious, the platforms for getting internet radio are proliferating like mushrooms after a spring rain, and it's wonderful that they are, and we are on a large number of them. So just have a look about. But on your smartphone, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and Tuner Internet Radio are three really, really good good alternatives. You can take The Horn with you wherever you go and even listen live. Even, like, you know, when you're stuck in traffic or stuff. Of course, it's better with Wi-Fi than unless you're with Sprint, who doesn't meter its bandwidth like a certain company that I won't name except to say that their name has an A, a T, and a T in it, and another company that supports mountaintop removal had a booth at Don Blankenship's big America rally on top of a mountaintop removal site a few years back, you know, where Ted, child sexual abuse Nugent, showed up. Yeah, Verizon. Yeah, but apart from that, no, it is quite encouraging to see the way that internet radio is proliferating, as noted previously, heretofore, supra to it. You know, of course, the phone number, and the lines are open. I try not to just filibuster the whole damn show. The lines are open, 877-443-2366, and you're welcome to jump in and participate in really any way that you see fit. This isn't one of those programs No Ustream, Marty. No, meaning it's cheaper. It's easier to listen if you're somewhere that has Wi-Fi. But you certainly can listen in the car if you've got a wireless plan that will allow you to stream that much content. I try to be clear, but sometimes I guess I'm not. But no, we've got tonight, Wednesday night, and Thursday night to chat. And then, as noted, I'm away from the microphone for Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So we, you know, that's the reality of the situation. We have horses' rear ends by the dozen, it would seem. One that goes particularly to something I'm dealing with, a great big go jump in a lake to right-wing Republican Representative Tom Price of Georgia, a medical doctor. I wouldn't let this little bastard put a Band-Aid on for fear he'd kill me. Then there's, generally speaking, there's, you know, there's the story of gun sales in the United States, because Obama's going to get your guns. And then, well, you know, I hate it that I'm constantly talking about what it takes to fund this little operation going forward on a month-to-month basis. They don't have to do that over at Liberty Council Radio. They got money coming out their ears because it's all tax-exempt, or as the song from the Chasers on Wednesday night says, and it's all tax-free. Well, no, I've got that story about Liberty Council Radio somewhere in the stacks as well. But enough of that. Light up the phones if you want to, and we'll see where it takes us. Let's go to the phones right here, right now. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Listen, I was laughing with that chick with the dress.
Texana Ignorama Edwards?
No, I mean, it was just, and they had a picture of her. I guess that was in her room, and she's showing it off, and I just thought,
I feel deprived. I didn't see the picture.
You didn't see a picture?
No, I'm just a radio guy.
Shut up, man. The picture is just, wow. She was standing out in the grass in front of something. And, yeah, it was some sort of mermaid-type Confederate.
Oh, you mean with, like, the tapers down to the ankles and then sort of like one of those things that Tina Louise wore on Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, sort of. I don't know if it had, you know, but it just looked like it was going that direction. I just couldn't believe, you know, some 18, it just was pathetic and just disturbing, you know.
Well, now you've got me looking. Oh, okay, so there, you know, this is the handy thing about having a live audience in the chat room.
Oh, someone posted.
Yeah, there it is. And no. She done had it made special and everything.
Yeah, no. It's hideous, and it's such a, you know, perfect story for today, I guess, you know?
Yeah, and imagine my shock when I heard that there was going to be one at the local prom up the road. Charming.
Oh, no. Well, you know, I was just sort of shaking my head. I'm like, I said, oh, no, he popped up in Afghanistan. You know what I mean? It's just some sort of Bush redux, you know. I'm sorry. As soon as I heard that, I thought, now he's appearing in the various war zones. Great.
Well, and of course, that's a great big let's see if you've got the guts to do this Mitt Romney kind of thing.
Well, no, but Mitt Romney, he need to shut the hell up. I couldn't believe that little quib about Carter. I'm like, you couldn't even stand in Carter's shoes, you asswipe. With Mitt Romney, I mean, please give me a break. His foreign policy, the people are still stressing the Cold War, for Pete's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just a joke.
They are literally in a different century.
No. Yeah, exactly. And you know, he doesn't have any. He's a joke. I'm just sort of beyond the beyond with Mitt Romney. It's like, don't talk about anybody. You ain't served shit. You actively use your cult to get out of service, right?
Didn't his mission trip to, you know, the heathens in France, didn't that keep him out of Vietnam?
Yeah, right. He didn't even have the balls to go to a third world country for his little mission, France. Please. God.
Well, he was special assistant to the prophet or something over there.
No, listen. The more Mitt Romney. I mean, that dude is gonna get. I don't know. I suppose they keep showing these polls, which I don't believe, that he's somehow hanging in there. I mean, he has to be one of the most despicable candidates I've ever seen, ever. And I've been following politics, you know, actively since I was 13.
Yeah, yeah, for too long, right.
And it's just like he's wow. I'm at a loss of words for just how insipid and vino this guy is. He's awful.
Well, I love this idea that everybody would have ordered that kill shot on Bin Laden, when in fact Barack Obama's own cabinet was split on the issue. Did you happen to notice that? I mean, Joe Biden was saying, you know, Mr. President, I really wouldn't do this because we don't necessarily know that's him and we don't know that it's there and this could be a real big mess.
Well, no, but I mean, the thing, I'm sorry. I know we're supposed to be voting for Mr. Obama, but he loves his killing because now he's okayed it for them to drone out people even when the target is, quote, unknown.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, you don't kill much? It's like blood. It's really a lot of bloodletting. To me, I find it quite, you know, we've had this conversation about Obama. I'm like, I'm scared of that fool. Scared, okay?
Yeah, well, you know, it sort of ties in with the whole great big plot to blow up a bridge in Cleveland that wasn't really.
Well, no, I couldn't even. That one was just like, oh, what? You know what I mean? And it, to me, I
yeah, that was, you know, that it falls into the same category as... yeah, hey, guys, we got some new basketball shoes here, a couple, you know. You want to go blow up the Sears Tower?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, to sort of, you know, prey on the simpletons, you know what I mean? I like how they try to link it to Occupy, and it just was like, oh, no, you know? And they're just giving anarchists a bad name. I mean, all the anarchists I've read about in history seem pretty damn smart. Not like these dumbasses. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, and that's the thing. They're not. I mean, let's take for instance. What was her name? Emma Goldman.
Wow.
You know, she was an anarchist during the Russian Revolution, and she went over to check out what was going on there, and said, "F these people." You know, she didn't want anything to do with the Bolsheviks either.
Yeah, well, and those two, and the Italians that got strung up here.
Sacco and Vanzetti.
Right. I mean, you know, there's a lot more. I mean, don't, you know, please, let's, I don't know. The whole thing is just, it just preys on everyone's lack of any historical perspective whatsoever.
Well, I get the creeping, crawling paranoids every time I see one of these, because these things are tailor-made. I mean, I remember, what was the big summit thingy in Canada where the Royal Canadian Mounted Police or the Quebec Provincial Police or whatever.
G20 thing. Yeah.
Yeah, got busted, cold busted, for running around among peaceful protesters saying, well, let's hit somebody.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. By the way, Patty just dropped a note and she said, Obama in Afghanistan. She said, if you were President Obama, wouldn't you want to be all the way in Afghanistan when you told us, your base, that you were trapping us in Afghanistan until 2024?
What, was that, did they actually come out with a date like that?
I'm waiting for the follow-up.
I thought it was 2014.
Well, that's what it was last time.
Well, no, the thing is, I think that the money changers are probably whispering at Obama that he has to wrap that up.
You think? You don't think it's good for business anymore?
I know. I'm starting to think that, you know, the sort of, he really is presiding over the decline.
I've always got in the back of my mind that report about, well, there's tons and tons and megatons of lithium in the soil of Afghanistan and rare earth elements and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
you don't think we want that stuff?
Yeah, but, I mean, there's still ways of managing that, you know, without the spectacle that's going on now. I just think that he's going to draw down the troops pretty substantially before his term is up. You know what I mean? If he gets back in, that is.
Well, I would...
I don't know. I just don't... Because, you know, the real... The economy here is just, I'm sorry, it's just not sustainable if they're going to keep it configured as it is, you know, where you have massive unemployment like permanently. It just you just can't sustain.
Well, I saw that one report on the growth of the economy that said, you know, the economy grew at 2.2% and it's lower than anybody wanted. But the takeaway line at the bottom of it, Sandra, was some economists now say that 2.2% indicates the beginning of what is considered a sustainable recovery.
Well, yeah, and you can have a heart attack and that'll lift the gross domestic product. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I'm kind of, you know, the indices are all jacked up. I'm not really believing them anymore, especially, like I said.
Well, Krugman on the austerity ferry last week or whenever it was just beautiful because he sort of exposed the fact that all of this austerity business is entirely a product of the imagination of people who profit by it.
Yeah, and also, if you, and it's really, it's heartbreaking for average people when you look at the example of England. They did that by design to go into austerity. They didn't even have to do it. And now they're in recession, and the Tories are scrambling around like the little pigs that they are, trying to privatize the National Health Care Service. I mean, the shit that's going on in England is just, I just shake my head. I'm thinking, my goodness, they are, and they're not, they were nowhere near in the condition that the continent is in, yet they decided, because they have 5 years to inflict it on the people before they face election. So I don't know what's going to happen to the UK.
And that was what was so disgusting about that story of Her Royal Highness and the bravery and intrepidity that she showed in going to see her really big barge.
That horrible boat. Yeah, that was like my eyes. I couldn't even believe that. I mean, I'm thinking, can't you just fall in there and just call it a day? Shit. No, listen, you know, that situation in Europe, that's what should be keeping Obama, should be keeping him up at night, because it's not good over there. I mean, Spain, you know, they're in depression. I mean, that is a depression. 30% unemployment.
And we don't hear much about Italy, but things aren't necessarily good there, are they, either?
Well, no, but the only upside is that Roya, I think his name is, the leader of Spain, said to Europe, no, sorry, we cannot meet this benchmark for our budget. We're going over it. That is sort of the first crack in their horrible austerity plan. And the Netherlands is another one. It's like, did you know that government fell the other day?
I saw that.
You know, that's all behind that bullshit, too. Italy, that bureau, that technocrat is actually making noise about, we need to talk about growth now. This ain't working. And, you know, in the meanwhile, you know, Fraulein.
Frau.
Blücher. She's trying to hold on, you know, to this fantasy that you can maintain this horrific export economy and expect the other countries to do what? I mean, no, you can't have to beggar thy neighbor, and that's what Germany's doing. They're benefiting, but if they don't have anyone to export to, what's going to happen eventually?
Sooner or later, somebody's got to be able to buy something, right?
Yeah, exactly. No. So that situation over there is nasty, and it's extra nasty because you have the head of the European Central Bank talking about the solution is to dismantle the social contract and compact. That's what they were all about. But I don't know. The last time they did that, you know, how many millions of people died? 50?
Yeah, there was a connection, wasn't there?
Oh, give me a fucking break. But anyway, yeah, so the thing is, though, I'm really scared about the cliff that we're going to be going off of in the lame duck. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things happening during that period, right after the elections here, and it's all backloaded to, you know, really send this economy into a tailspin if they get their way, you know.
Well, if they do, I guess what I'm asking is if they do anything at all.
Well, but an unfettered Obama isn't very, that's not very comforting to me either, with his reform fetish for entitlement. Don't forget. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. See, I remember, I will be a long time forgetting what Alan Grayson said on that boat in the middle of the Caribbean. You know, about how the President Obama told him, you know, Mr. President, if you could do one thing that you wanted to, what would it be? You know, world peace. No, his answer was reform entitlements.
Well, you know, and I looked at that whole Hamilton speech again. You know, one of the things he said was that, well, with the baby boomers, you know, retiring, and those programs were designed in 1938. Same thing said about Glass-Steagall, too, right? You know, so...
Yeah, it outlived its usefulness.
Right, that whole song and dance. And it's just like, you know, so that worries me with him. And I'm only speaking about it because I really don't know what has to happen in order for Romney to be elected. I don't see it. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I know we have a few months, but getting back to him, have you ever seen anyone so horrible?
You mean just greasy and nasty and...
Yes. Oh, God.
Because I saw this the other day, Sandra, and tell me if I'm a little bit nuts or whatever, but I saw a comparison between the baby boomers and so-called Generation X. You know, that's the generation after the baby boomers. That's the generation that starts like 1968.
Oh, okay, right.
And the way it was presented was that there were 80 million baby boomers and 70 million Generation Xers.
Right.
Well, if the whole reason that Social Security is going to collapse is because of the baby boomers, and there's actually just 10 million less Generation Xers, then how does that whole collapse thing work?
Well, it don't work, because in 1983, Reagan doubled the payroll taxes to accommodate this baby boomer's retirement. I mean, we're just being told lie after lie. You know, we had 6% FICA taxes when Reagan came to office, and when he left, he doubled it because of the big Social Security Commission with Alan Greenspan and all them other freaks. So they doubled it, and that was supposed to take care of the baby boomers, which it would if they wouldn't be undermining it now. So they're just lying. And what it all comes down to with Social Security is that these rich assholes don't want to pay.
And the reason I ask is because Social Security is the same. It's not the same. It's much more miserly than the European social safety net. And in both instances, basically, you have the 1% wanting that money. It's not that it's going to collapse. They want that damn money. Have I got that part right?
They don't want to cover the maturing, you know, bonds in the system. You know what I mean? They don't want to have to make good on it, because in order to make good on it, you know, fair shares, they have to pay in some form or manner, you know? I mean, I just think it's just a way to get rid of a system they've been wanting to get rid of forever.
Well, they didn't want it in the first place.
They just lie, talking about how it's not...
Why can't anybody with a bully pulpit point out the fact that Republicans hated Social Security the minute that it was passed? They have hated it every minute since then, and their stated goal has always been to destroy it. Why can't that be said?
No, and also, why can't it be said that if you just raise the ceiling on it to $200,000, $300,000, or lift it completely, it would be solvent for the next 5,000 years? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And
there's a couple of things you can do. You can also lower that damn retirement age to age 62 or 60 and open up the job market wide open. I mean, it's so backwards here, and so it makes you see what the real agenda is, which is to, you know, turn everybody just desperate.
And take the money and run.
With no security, and that's it.
What happens to that money, Sandra, if the right wing gets hold of it? If the 1% gets hold of it?
Well, I'm not too sure about all that, because I know there's a lot of laws in place to protect that program. So that's why they're taking the propaganda tack to undermine it, because it's fine. That's the thing. The program is fine. And like I said, the idea that they can't have a discussion to raise the ceiling is disgusting, because that would solve the problem. And they should be increasing the benefits, not raising retirement ages. I mean, everything points to strengthening the system, and it will help the economy overall in so many different ways, and taking care of the health care.
Yeah, and see, our buddy Benedict is in the chat room, and he just said, you know, they want that damn money, but it doesn't exist and never did. There is no question of Social Security solvency, Benedict notes. He says, there's never any question of solvency with a sovereign fiat currency. The government of the United States can never become insolvent as a matter of, I don't know what you'd call it, not as a matter of law or physics or as a matter of economics, I suppose.
Well, you know, yeah, I guess unless the nation state or of the U.S. cease to exist. Yeah, I know, I guess, yeah.
Right, because, well, it's like these idiots that prattle on about the debt. You know, my own senator, Blanche Manchin, was addressing the Chamber of Commerce of Beckley, West Virginia, Friday night, and all he could talk about was debt, that this debt is going to kill us, this debt's going to choke us to death, our economy's going to be destroyed by...
Thank you. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are a minute or so past the hour on this Tuesday evening, the 1st of May, and it is apparently, thank you very much, it is apparently as hard for many of you to forget the 1st of May as Agnes and my anniversary as it is for me myself. So thanks to you for the email wishing a happy anniversary to us both. It is sincerely appreciated, and we have been gifted with an absolutely beautiful day here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Pycod, Virginia, or what's left of it, and celebrated the same by paying bills. I know, I'm a romantic soul, aren't I? But we did, and, there was a celebration involved. Agnes let me have the salsa for which I have been so desperately jonesing for about 2 weeks. Yeah, that was really, really nice. And we just had a little alone time together. And that's pretty doggone rare in and of itself. But now, the 6 o'clock hour is upon us here in the Eastern Time Zone. And it is the 1st of May. And the 1st of May happens to have fallen on a Tuesday. So that means that this is a terrible Tuesday. Tormented Tuesday, too weird for words Tuesday, it's whatever it is, it's definitely Tuesday. We probably got some holdovers from last night or and Monday. They're not stale yet, believe me, trust me, please. And some programming reminders, or a programming reminder. I will be gone beginning Friday. Friday I leave for Boston. And Monday night, I leave Boston and head for Charlotte, North Carolina. So then returning home Wednesday evening. I probably will not be home Wednesday evening in time to get a show in. And frankly, even if I were, I would probably be a little too zonked to successfully pull it off. The first leg out and the last leg home are both on truly terrifying aircraft. I think they're holdovers from the Civil War or the World War II at the very latest, but we'll be okay. I'm flying out of Charleston to D.C., and then at Dulles I get on an aircraft for Boston. I guess that's better than going through... Really? Well, no, I guess there's no need for just one-shot rides to Boston from Charleston, West Virginia. But there are one-shot rides to New York. Yeah, well, who knows? Many and mysterious are the ways of airline schedules. But yeah, going to Dulles and flying from Charlotte to here, it gets right creepy. Thanks very much for the contribution that just rolled in the door. It is much appreciated. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. If you look there, you will see where we stand relative to our monthly fundraising goal. You know, we pulled up a little bit short last month. That's in a row, I think.
this will the widget will catch up with this in just a second here, and it'll show the contributions that have come in today. One, two, three, four. Thank you very much. So, no, I just wanted to make sure that I get it out there that I will be gone. No show Friday, no show Monday, no show Tuesday, no show Wednesday. And then after that, some shows, and then back on the road. It's going to be a very busy month of May. It just is. But that's okay, because it means that we are getting the word out about the Appalachian apocalypse and, well, what the 1% are willing to do to my friends, my family, my neighbors, my colleagues, all in the name of, you know, maybe a quarter of a penny share profit on the quarterly statement, dividends, that kind of thing. You know, the stuff that really matters. You know, money, not life, not health, not safety, not no. What matters is money. So that's the message we will be getting out over the coming weeks. We're taking the fight to the profiteering bastards, and they are that. They're profiteering bastards. They're a violent lot too. You've probably heard me talk about one of the longtime and one of the participants in this struggle, a fellow by the name of Larry Gibson, lives up on Kayford Mountain. Odds are, well, you can Google Kayford Mountain and you can see what a hellscape it is. With all of the blather running around from politicians and industry groups and about the EPA's war on coal and that there Obama's war on coal, you know, some of the knuckle walkers and mouth breathers are bound to take them at their word. So Larry Gibson's home on Kayford Mountain was recently vandalized. It was broken into. A bunch of stuff was stolen, that sort of thing. The folks down, the activists down in Rock Creek, West Virginia, also had their house vandalized in the last 24 hours. Rocks put through their windows, that sort of thing. Gee, it's almost like we've been here before, isn't it? But don't worry, the FBI is on the case. Just not this case. Now, they're on the case of some anarchists who are going to blow up a bridge in Cleveland, even though they didn't have any explosives and didn't have any ability to blow up the bridge. But you know, they could, like, get stoned and, you know, talk about it. Oh, like, you know, we'll leave this place and rebel, you know. Oh, it's going to be terrible. The anarchists are just going to wreck everything, you know. Like, oh, here. Yeah. Right? Yeah, because, I mean, you saw that story, right? Yeah, the FBI provided all the goodies, provided the encouragement to talk about this sort of stuff. And then, of course, the Chicago Sun-Times article coming this way via Sandra. FBI, no credible threat to Chicago by 5 arrested for Ohio bridge plot. Yeah. The FBI in Chicago say there's no evidence there was ever, important word, ever a credible threat from self-described anarchists who allegedly talked about activists creating havoc during the NATO summit in the city. The agency's counterparts in Cleveland, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, arrested 5 people for allegedly plotting to blow up a bridge near Cleveland. One suspect said anarchists nationwide will eventually be rioting and destroying Chicago and Cleveland. They'll leave Cleveland a pile of rubble in, and it'll go worse for Chicago.
Here. Man, don't bogart it.
Yeah, it was a bridge that carries a highway over the Cuyahoga Valley National Park in the Bricksville area of Cleveland, about 15 miles southeast of downtown. And they planted what they believed to be explosives at the base of the bridge, and then they armed them. Only you can't arm something that isn't explosive in the first place. And then they went to a remote spot and entered the codes that they thought would blow up the bridge with innocent people traveling over it, U.S. Attorney Stephen Dettelbach said. They were all dummies, of course, and they were goaded into it by an FBI informant. See, this is what passes for law enforcement when your nation has gone from republic to empire to fascist state. In the absence of real threats, they will gin some up so as to keep the people in a heightened state of fear. Of course, it's also convenient that these were said to be anarchists, and they tried to, they probably thought well of Occupy or something. You should see the pictures of these goobers. Here. We need a bong. Zarsh. Special Agent Stephen D. Anthony, overseeing the Cleveland Division of the FBI, said the individuals charged in this plot were intent on using violence to express their ideological views. The Joint Terrorism Task Force will continue to be vigilant in its efforts to detect and disrupt any terrorism threat, domestic or international. Whether they're actually threats or a bunch of high guys sitting around going, here. Oh, wow, I've got the coolest idea. No, they tried to palm it off on Occupy. Occupy Cleveland immediately released a statement saying, Occupy Cleveland has from the very start espoused peaceful, nonviolent direct action. These alleged actions taken by these people were completely autonomous. Because, see, this is how crackdowns happen. Let's see, what was the phrase after the Reichstag fire? Das ist die Arbeit von Kommunisten. Even though there were no Kommunistens involved in the Arbeit that was the Reichstag fire. But, you know, just let it be a lesson to you. The FBI is not the only organization that has to be alert and be vigilant. If you happen to be a member of some organization that is trying to bring about positive, nonviolent social change, be on the alert for the noob who comes in and says, oh, y'all are like doing great stuff, you know, I really dig it. Oh, this is cool. Here, you know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to blow some shit up. That's what we need to do. Who here wants to blow some shit up? Like, you know, leave the town and like rubble, you know, to express our anarchist views. Come on, everybody with me. See, when that guy starts talking, you know he's a rat. He's a fed. He's some sort of cop. And what you do is you say, hey, you know what? We're so proud you decided to join us, man. Your work is going to be so important. I'll tell you what, would you go and alphabetize those phone books? We really need our phone books alphabetized. Go do that. Oh, man, you are such an important part of the movement. Everybody's going to remember that you alphabetized those phone books. And when you're done with that, alphabetize the Rolodexes. They're bad. And then alphabetize the... alphabetize the mailing lists. I mean, we are severely in disarray for our contact list, so we badly, you know, this is work that's needed to be done, and you're just the one to do it. And you just give them meaningless job after meaningless job after meaningless job after meaningless job. Because the whole goal is to insinuate into the process so as to stop the valuable, nonviolent, good work that is taking place. Hey, look, let's go plant these on the bridge pier. I mean, that guy over there, that he gave them to us. He said he'd plant them himself, but, you know, like, he can't like, carry that much that far, so we'll do it. And then, of course, Bill, Mr. Stress from Cleveland, noted, hell, Bob, there are some bridges in the Cleveland area that are in bad enough condition, all you need is a group that can push. And, of course, the infrastructure got that way. Why? Oh, yeah, that's right, Mitt Romney needed a tax break. Charming, huh? Don't you love it? No, this is, if Thursday is thorn in the side, I guess Tuesday is too weird for words. That's just one of them. This story has a little bit of age on it, but is valuable just the same because, lo and behold, it happens there and it comes back here. Now, this story comes out of Tennessee, and nobody understands better than David in Tennessee and that these things happen. But here's the interesting thing. They got it right. They didn't get it wrong. Some ignorant twit of a girl, and I'm sorry, it's not she's ignorant and a twit because she's a girl, but she's a girl who's ignorant and a twit. Do you remember the story a couple of weeks back about all the proud sons of Confederate heritage that was upset that there was a museum done opened up in Virginia, the Old Dominion? And there's a museum opened up, the first damn thing you saw when you walked in there, hoping to go in, take your hat off, and honor the revered memory of the treasonous Robert E. Lee and the treasonous James Longstreet and the treasonous Johnston and Johnson and Braxton Bragg and all them other treasonous sons of bitches that started the War of the Rebellion, that treasonous P.G.T. Beauregard, Pierre Gustave Tuton, all them treasonous bastards, you're hoping to walk in the door and pay them a little bit of honor, and there's a damn drag queen, a cut-out life-size of a drag queen in a sparkly sequined Confederate flag evening dress. It was disrespectful, I tell you. And them sons of proud Confederate heritage, why, they let folks know how outraged they were. Never mind the fact that it was explained that the reason that RuPaul was there in the dress was to point out the fact that there are appropriate ways to display a flag and inappropriate ones. Of course, I personally think the Confederate flag is most appropriately displayed when it is on fire or being trampled underfoot by free people. Goddamn dumbass ignorant. Well, okay, so there's that. Well, fast forward a few weeks to Gibson County, Tennessee. Gibson County, Tennessee, over in the western end of the state. I think we had a Gibson County, Tennessee story some while back. Wasn't it in Gibson County, Tennessee? Wasn't that where the gay couple was threatened to be beat within an inch of their life by the minister of the son of the Prince of Peace there at the church? Wasn't that Gibson County, Tennessee? Well, in this case, Gibson County, Tennessee got it right because there's an ignorant twit of a girl who wanted to go to her prom a-wearing of a Confederate flag prom dress. The ignorant 18-year-old's name, she's 18 years old, so we can mention the ignoramus's name, or would she be an ignorama? Latin, feminine. Yeah, okay. Ignorama. Ignorama's real name is Texana Edwards. Oh, please. Texana, Texanna Lou, you come here right now. I'm going to blister your hide. Texanna Edwards, 18 years old, and dumber than an effing post. She told everybody ahead of time that she was going to wear her Confederate flag prom gown to her prom, and the school officials said, no, you can't. The school district there in Gibson County, Tennessee, said that the prom gown would in fact be offensive and inappropriate. Now, in the fighting spirit of her Confederate forebears, Texanna Edwards said, "To hell with the rules and to hell with the law, I'm a going in my Confederate prom gown, anywho's." And so she did, and she got to the prom, and the folks at the prom said, "Young Missy, you just turn right around. You can go and you change out of your Confederate prom gown and put on something decent and come on in and just dance the night away, but you ain't coming in wearing that trash." But she was proud of her heritage. Texanna Ignorama Edwards was. She's proud of her heritage. And she wouldn't go into that prom less than she could wear her hate dress. Because, you know, she done had it made, custom and everything. Oh, for heaven's sakes. The teacher had already told her, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. Why ruin prom? And see, that's the way it is with these little conservatives, these Confederates, these right-wingers. They don't care about anybody but themselves. I mean, the teacher said, you know, why do you want to ruin prom for other people? Don't wear it. You're pretty girl. You're a pretty girl, Texanna Ignorama Edwards. You're a pretty girl. The teacher lied. You can just wear something else. But Texanna Ignorama Edwards, she's steeped in her Confederate heritage, and she thought. She's pretty sure she had a constitutional, if not God-given, right to wear her Confederate battle flag. But she showed up, and they said no, and so she's very upset because her rights was trampled on, because she's got states' rights to wear a flag across her. Well, never mind that she'd be taken out by Jefferson Davis and personally horsewhipped for the disrespect inherent in wearing the flag across and around and over and under her nasty girly places. No, I don't know. Rhett Butler would probably have to take her upstairs or something. Oh, it's just disgusting. Just whoop her. Funny thing is, the same sort of thing had happened, yeah, absolutely, onward to dystopia. I bet her parents were so proud of her. Well, they had to be because they let her out the door in it. Now, honey, you take it. You go ahead. Yeah, we're proud of you, honey. That is a beautiful dress on you, Texanna Ignorama. That's a beautiful dress. You just get on in the Trans Am and go on to your prom, but be back before midnight or the Trans Am will turn back into a 72 Dodge Dart with three wheels. Pocketa, 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 pocketa. But they've been down this road. In 2006, another ignoramus in Tennessee had been suspended from school for wearing the Confederate battle flag. And they didn't let him. And so he sued the school and said, "You're a trampling of my First Amendment rights. For I am proudly displaying my Confederate heritage." See, these self-absorbed assholes don't realize that it has nothing to do with heritage. For a whole lot of millions of people, it has to do with memories of hate and night riders and strange fruit swinging from trees and signs that say, don't let the sun set on you here. It is a symbol of hatred no less than the crooked cross that flew for how many years over Germany. And when Cletus T. Dingledick took his case to the court and said, they wouldn't let me wear my Confederate flag T-shirt, and there's a trampling on my state's rights. The court said, get the out of here. Schools have an absolute right, the court held, to have certain de minimis rules of decorum that will prevent the school and the learning experience from devolving into chaos. In that particular case, the judge made the holding that one could reasonably assume that the Confederate battle flag was so racially charged that substantial disruption could happen within the school environment. The judge was right. And so there's Gibson County, Tennessee, trying to follow the law, but Texana ignorama, well, she don't care about no law. She got her a Confederate flag dress. I mean, maybe her boyfriend was coming as General Lee, or maybe they had the General Lee in the parking lot and you hit the horn and you know, maybe he's got big ears and buggy eyes and banjos and shit. But I tell you that because Tennessee got it right. On the other hand, it is prom season. And prom season happens all over the United States. Major high school holiday. It's in small towns. It's a big business boost about this time of year, as the young ladies go out looking for what are generally really terrible dresses. Not that I know a hell of a lot about them, but I know tasteful and I know tacky, and tacky rules the day by about 98% to 2. And lo and behold, up here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by God, Virginia, what's left of it, we's going to have us a prom, too. And I reckon the word, or else it's in the water, I reckon the word of Texana Ignorama Edwards has spread. Because now he's going to have us a statement up here to the high school my children attend. I was informed this afternoon that one of my daughter's classmates has her a Confederate flag dress that she's going to wear to prom, and she's going to be so proud. Now, here's the sad thing. Here's the difference between, say, Gibson County, Tennessee, and Fayette County, West Virginia. Texana Ignorama Edwards didn't get to wear her Confederate flag gown to her promenade. Prom is short for promenade, is it not? No, she didn't. But I'll bet you, and I ain't got it to bet with, but I'll bet you $1 to $5, that whoever, if she's not actually, then she is the spiritual cousin of Texana Ignorama Edwards, will get to wear. I mean, she'll walk in and they'll clap and hoot and holler and whistle. And if there just happens to be a couple of people of color somewhere in the room, well, they can just shut the hell up. Right? Yeah. I need a vacation. I will be honestly and truly glad. Well, we're already homeschooling Ferg. Margie's a senior. She'll graduate soon. And we are seriously considering homeschooling our youngest. I can't. Agnes, never mind me. Agnes can't take it anymore. The stupid that is, you know, last night we were talking a little bit about how ignorant Flush Flimball was and how he didn't understand things like ice cores. And thank you, Dr. John. Thank you very kindly for the affirmation email. Dr. John wrote in a little bit earlier today listening to the podcast from last night. And Flush Flimball's, my friends, for the sake of discussion, he said, I just caught Limbaugh in your conjuration. He's threading a needle there for his fundy audience. And even then, he probably lost a few. On climate history, look at ice cores and tree rings for crying out loud, says Dr. John. And you just mentioned ice cores, Bob. Plus one for that. Those little moments of affirmation are so good. And they mean so much. And see, that doesn't happen a lot around here. Rather like ice cores themselves, you know, that was snow on top of snow on top of snow on top of snow, because it never all fully melted, and it just stacked and stacked and stacked and stacked together. Well, the same thing happens with miserable right-wing horse crap here. It stacks and it stacks and it stacks, and it stinks and it stinks and it stinks, and you know, it's our anniversary, so we're getting along very nicely. So I'm hearing the story about the Confederate flag gown. And Agnes looks at me and says, oh, no, you don't. So I guess, no, I don't. I don't know what it. Would there be any harm in an anonymous call to the school board to say, listen, I hear there's going to be an ignorant girl wearing a Confederate flag dress at the Midland Trail prom. Could you look into it? That has no business in a public school. Yeah, onward to dystopia, I agree. Why can't these people display the Confederate flag while walking, say, through the black part of town? Effing cowards. Well, they are. That's why. And, Marty noting, and the dresses cost an arm, a leg, and a vital organ or two. Oh, God, they're expensive. And one of the things, you only find these things out when you've got teenagers. Now, back in the dim, dark mists of time when I was involved in such things, although because of the religious persuasion of our high school principal and that of the other principal, the two high schools in town were not allowed to have proms. We had junior-senior banquets because there could be no dancing on publicly owned school property because the local religious authorities dictated, their word was more important than that of the Constitution. But, you know, tuxes, guys, black, right? Black tux, white shirt, cummerbund, you know, bow tie, whatever. No. Now, the thing is, apparently, for the young lady to explain to her date what color she is wearing, and then the date is supposed to match her dress. And, you know, there I am trying to teach her, you know, I got nothing to teach my daughters about style. It's kind of outside my bailiwick. But I can teach my son to hand tie a bow tie. I would hazard a guess that he's probably one of one person around here who knows how to do that. And I can teach him which way the cummerbund goes, and when you wear one of those, or you don't wear one with a double breasted, blah 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 blah. And I remember him telling me, "No, son, no, 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 no." Well, you know, so-and-so's wearing a white one. No! No, really, no. Repeat after me, son. Black tux, white shirt. Black tux, white shirt. It's how it works. So I can only wonder what this young woman's date will be wearing. Maybe he'll be wearing the Confederate flag, not the battle flag. Maybe he'll be wearing a Confederate flag tux. Jesus Christ. So, it's Tuesday. Too weird to be true Tuesday. And there's, Lord knows, there is more. They are, these weirdos are so far out in the open. They are so fearless now. They are so proud of their hate. That they broadcast it. You've got, granted, they tried to disappear it down the memory hole, but they were not successful. The creeps over at Newsmuck, a guy there named John L. Perry, did you see this? Openly advocating for a military coup against the President of the United States of America. John L. Perry advocating a military dictatorship in the United States. This is what patriotic American John L. Perry has to say. Even though they disappeared it. There is a remote, although gaining, possibility America's military will intervene as a last resort to resolve the Obama problem. Don't dismiss it as unrealistic. America isn't the third world. If a military coup does occur here, it will be civilized. Yeah, civilized. Just like setting off 5 million pounds of high explosives a day on communities in southern West Virginia. That's civilized. Civilized, right. It'll be civilized. That it has never happened doesn't mean it won't. We are getting our logic lessons from the right wing in the last two nights. Last night we had Rush Limbaugh saying, I can't bring him back to life, therefore I did not kill him. Basically. And now we've got, just because we've never had a military coup before doesn't mean one can't happen now. Please, Jesus, let it happen. Get that man out of the White House. Describing what may be afoot is not to advocate it. But, you know, if you're a real journalist and you've got evidence of this, it needs to be brought to the public's attention so that the treasonous generals in question can be dealt with, because we have a civilian form of government. We just do. Describing what may be afoot is not to advocate it, so view the following through military eyes. Officers swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Unlike enlisted personnel, they do not swear to obey the orders of the President of the United States. Top military officers can see the Constitution they are sworn to defend being trampled as American institutions and enterprises are nationalized. Which ones? Because the Affordable Care Act certainly hasn't nationalized anything. Jesus, that's a profit machine for the for-profit healthcare industry. And I'll never let the facts get in the way of a stupid argument, right? They can see that Americans are increasingly alarmed that this nation, under President Barack Obama, may not even be recognizable as America by the 2012 election, in which he will surely seek continuation in office. Yes, he will, and don't call us surely. They can see that the economy ravaged by deficits, taxes, unemployment, and impending inflation. Yeah, the inflation is still impending, hasn't gotten here yet. It's just sort of happening inside John L. Perry, inside those sloppy, thin gray settlings that pass for brains that slosh back and forth between his ears. Impending inflation is financially reliant on foreign lender governments. Like it always has been. Because the debt of the United States is what supports the United States, and that debt has always been deemed to be rock solid. And that's why other countries invest in things like American Treasury bonds and so forth. But let's not confuse John L. Perry with basic economic theory. Why bother? And let's not confuse him with the fact that the deficits and the deficits were run up by one George W. Pinhead Bush, who waged two and possibly three or four wars off the books. No, let's don't do that. Let's not talk about the right wing, the right wing created the flim flam bunco scam that was the deregulation of the financial industry that led to the credit default swap and the housing bubble and blah blah blah. Let's not tell John L. Perry about that either. He's happy in his little world. Capricorn, 24-13. Carousel awaits. He continues. They can see this president. These are all, remember, we're looking through military eyes. Apparently, really, really weird right-wing military eyes. They can see this president waging undeclared war on the intelligence community. Gee, I thought he was waging undeclared war on people in Yemen. Without whose rigorous and independent functions, you know, like torture and waterboarding, the armed services are rendered blind in an ever more hostile world overseas and at home. They can see the dismantling of defenses against missiles targeted at this nation by avowed enemies, even as America's troop strength is allowed to sag. Gee, broke the military, John L. Perry. Who sent soldiers on deployment after deployment after deployment after deployment? Who had, as a matter of example, the Louisiana National Guard and its boats in the middle of the Iraqi desert when Katrina hit? Who was that? Oh, yeah, that was Barack Hussein Obama, wasn't it, John L. Perry? No, sorry. That was George W. Don't Give a Damn About Black Folks Bush. They can see the horror of major warfare erupting simultaneously in two and possibly three far-flung theaters before America can react in time. In other words, Barack Obama is not starting the war like George W. Bush did, and we all know that right-wingers like to start the war even if the war don't need starting. They can see the nation's safety and their own military establishments and honor, oh, that honor, placed in jeopardy as never before. Jeopardy? I'll take stupid wars of choice for $1,000. What is George W. Bush? Yes. So if you're one of those observant military professionals, what do you do? I'm sorry, my Carl Malden is not better. He used to do what they used to do, American Express commercials. You're in a foreign country. Your cash has all been stolen. What do you do? What do you do? Do, 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 da, 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 da. Wait until this president bungles into losing the war in Afghanistan and Pakistan's arsenal of nuclear bombs falls into the hands of militant Islam? Yeah, it was a heck of a bungle taking out that there Osama bin Laden. Now, I have issues with it, but it weren't exactly a bungle, now, were it? You know, John Kennedy, after the Bay of Pigs, said, success has 1,000 fathers, but failure is an orphan. And stepped up and took responsibility for the Bay of Pigs, even though sole responsibility for the Bay of Pigs was not his. But no, now, that's how weird this world is. Now we live in a world where Barack Obama is not even allowed to have success. And you've got Willard Romney running around out there. Well, I would have blowed him. I would have had him killed, too. I would have, really. I would have killed him. Realized I killed him and killed him and killed him some more and killed him. Even though in 2007 he said he wasn't much interested in killing Osama bin Laden. And he really said that. I love the snide turn that he took yesterday. Well, even Jimmy Carter would have made that call. Even Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter ordered a helicopter raid on Iran to try to free the hostages. It was not Jimmy Carter's fault that defense contractors built shitty helicopters that got choked to death by sand. But again, see above, failure is an orphan. And Jimmy Carter was man enough to take responsibility. Which is not something Republicans have ever been much good at. Just say. Wait until Israel is forced to launch airstrikes on Iran's nuclear bomb plants and the Middle East explodes, destabilizing or subjugating the free world? John L. Perry, I hate to break it to you, buddy, but the Middle East exploded about 9 years ago when George started his war of choice. Remember your buddy Rumfield when he said that it was going to be that we would be welcomed as liberators? You remember that, John L. Perry? And the entire region was destabilized, just like George W.'s daddy said it would be when he refused to take out Saddam? Yeah, that one. What happens if the generals Obama sent to win the Afghan war are told by this president, who now says, I'm not interested in victory, that they will be denied troops they must have to win? Do they follow orders they cannot carry out, consistent with their oath of duty? Do they resign en masse, or do they soldier on, hoping the 2010 congressional elections will reverse it? What? Jesus, he said. Imagine a bloodless coup to restore and defend the Constitution through an interim administration that would do the serious business of governing and defending the nation. Skilled, military-trained nation builders would replace accountability-challenged radical left commissars. Having bonded with his twin teleprompters, the president would be detailed for ceremonial speech-making. They're out there and they're openly fantasizing this stuff now. Some of them probably masturbate while they do it. They have completely lost what passes for their itsy bitsy teensy tiny tiny little minds. Gone. And I guess what's more important, they have no conception whatsoever of who is responsible for the mess. You know, Sandra noting, Jimmy Carter was a Navy officer. What was Romney's military service? Nothing. Draft-dodging idiot. And that phrase, civilized coup, Marty noting, yeah, like the coup in Chile was civilized. Yeah, helicopter trip there, a helicopter trip here. Yeah, pretty soon dissent gets pretty quiet. Jesus, stupid. It hurts. And that's not all the stupid we have. We have tons of stupid hither, thither, and yon. and too weird Tuesday. I think we're smack dab in the middle of it. And we just, you know, I guess it's like dropping acid and you just got to wait for the trip to end and things will get back to normal and the walls will quit breathing, right? Although it's kind of hard to take that ride, isn't it? So we'll take a little break and we'll come back. On the way, Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen with the Green News Report. And, of course, your calls are always welcome. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Light up the phones. Don't wait till the end of the program. Well, I didn't get on. Light up the phones. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, H-E-A-D-O-N, head on. If you've got some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan or it doesn't cost you anything to call, 304-658-3333 is the direct dial number. You can also reach the program via email at Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Okie dokie? Okie dokie. So we'll be right back. Light them up. This is the horn.
He's a new fashioned imperialist. He may not have a mill, but he has a lot of grist. Chinese convict labor.
Preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. the Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Mayday, mayday, mayday.
It's May 1st, 2012.
New poll shows Americans want clean energy and are willing to pay for it.
We heard today about fishing regulations. I'll continue to learn more about those regulations as they affect this industry.
Mitt Romney, still unclear on the concept of overfishing. Meet the nation's newest oil spill, now in Louisiana. Big oil rolls in taxpayer dough, but America's wind industry begs for scraps. Plus,
these things are poster children, we're told, for addressing global warming. Now they're contributing to it?
No, Fox News. Wind farms do not cause global warming.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
What is the intent of the environmentalist community, really?
The environmentalists have never liked progress. They've never liked capitalism. This is a long-running plot, quite frankly, concocted in the minds of Karl Marx and Frederick Engels.
That's what it is. Happy May Day, comrades. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, we have heard now for months and years how divided this nation is. But once again, we have yet another new poll that shows that this nation is not divided after all, that this nation agrees on things like clean energy, regulating carbon, and being willing to pay for it.
Indeed they are, but more on that in a moment. First, unclear on the concept of overfishing. That's GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney, who in a campaign appearance in Portsmouth, New Hampshire on Monday, attacked the Obama administration's new catch limits and other regulations aimed at recovering commercial fishing stocks in the North Atlantic that have crashed in recent years.
Across America, regulators just multiplying like proverbial rabbits. And making it harder and harder for enterprises to grow and to understand what their future might be.
So he's upset about the regulations that are meant to keep the fish alive so that the industry can continue?
Yes. So when he learns more about overfishing, maybe he'll hear about the last time, 20 years ago, when U.S. fishery regulations were implemented too late to save the commercial fishing industry from itself, when massive overfishing caused the permanent commercial collapse of the North Atlantic cod fishery.
Good Lord.
ExxonMobil says it's cleaning up a small oil spill from a pipeline in Louisiana. It's only 80,000 gallons of crude. This newest oil spill comes on the heels of a new report this week that criticizes regulatory oversight of the nation's oil and gas pipeline industry. The new report from the National Wildlife Federation finds that underfunded federal, state, and local regulators generally give pipeline companies great leeway in most cases, allowing the industry to regulate and inspect itself. A spokeswoman for the Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration says they have requested more funding from Congress to hire additional inspectors.
But we know how regulations kill industry, so who needs it?
Also on Capitol Hill, the American wind energy industry is on the ropes. While Big Oil has successfully fought off all attempts to repeal its billions in permanent taxpayer subsidies, America's wind energy industry is losing its production tax credit when it expires at the end of this year. A bipartisan coalition of industry and business groups are calling on the Republican-controlled Congress to extend this production tax credit. They say that the threat of expiration is already shutting down factories and jobs in the U.S. wind industry. Democratic Representative Peter Welch of Vermont says this uncertainty for investors is already hurting U.S. global competitiveness.
This production tax credit is really, really essential to give us a chance to compete against where a lot of wind technology is being exported, and that's to China.
So the Republicans are set to allow this tax credit to expire?
If they don't agree to take action, it will expire in December.
And isn't that the equivalent in their minds of raising taxes? And isn't that exactly what they fight against for the oil industry?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I guess raising taxes is in the eye of the legislator.
Speaking of hot air, Fox News thinks it's found a new cause for global warming.
There's a new study dealing a blow to all of these wind turbines the taxpayers are backing. It shows wind farms are fueling higher temperatures on the ground. Imagine that. These things are poster children, we're told, for addressing global warming. Now they're contributing to it?
No, Neil Cavuto, they're not. That's yet another lie from Fox News misrepresenting a new study from the journal Nature Climate Change that found nighttime temperatures are 1 degree Fahrenheit higher at the base of wind turbines, and that's just due to mixing of the air. The scientists explicitly state in their study, wind farms do not contribute to global warming.
I cannot believe that Fox is misrepresenting climate data.
And yet, clean energy is exactly what Americans want to see more of. That's according to a new poll, a joint project of Yale University and George Mason University, that found a strong majority of Americans want their tax dollars to go toward research and development of clean energy. 75% of Americans support regulating carbon dioxide emissions. 65% support the U.S. signing on to an international treaty to cut emissions. 61% support a carbon tax.
So all the things the Republicans have told us the country is against, it turns out they're in favor of. Who could have guessed it? For all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Isn't how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Coming up on 2 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. I'm Bob Kincaid. You can, of course, listen to The Horn in a variety of different ways. Available as a podcast at iTunes or at WhiteRoseSociety.org. It's your choice entirely. iTunes Radio, Stitcher runs the podcast and the live programming. As does the live programming is available also at TuneIn Radio, Tuner Internet Radio. My goodness gracious, the platforms for getting internet radio are proliferating like mushrooms after a spring rain, and it's wonderful that they are, and we are on a large number of them. So just have a look about. But on your smartphone, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and Tuner Internet Radio are three really, really good good alternatives. You can take The Horn with you wherever you go and even listen live. Even, like, you know, when you're stuck in traffic or stuff. Of course, it's better with Wi-Fi than unless you're with Sprint, who doesn't meter its bandwidth like a certain company that I won't name except to say that their name has an A, a T, and a T in it. Another company that supports mountaintop removal had a booth at Don Blankenship's big America rally on top of a mountaintop removal site a few years back, you know, where Ted, the child sexual abuse Nugent, showed up. Yeah, Verizon. Yeah, but apart from that, it is quite encouraging to see the way that internet radio is proliferating, as noted previously, heretofore. Supra to wit. You know, of course, the phone number, and the lines are open. I try not to just filibuster the whole damn show. The lines are open, 877-443-2366, and you're welcome to jump in and participate in really any way that you see fit. This isn't one of those programs no Ustream, Marty. No, meaning it's cheaper. It's easier to listen if you're somewhere that has Wi-Fi. But you certainly can listen in the car if you've got a wireless plan that will allow you to stream that much content. I try to be clear, but sometimes I guess I'm not. But no, we've got tonight, Wednesday night, and Thursday night to chat. And then, as noted, I'm away from the microphone for Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So, that's the reality of the situation. We have horses' rear ends by the dozen, it would seem. One that goes particularly to something I'm dealing with, a great big go-jump-in-a-lake to right-wing Republican Representative Tom Price of Georgia, a medical doctor. I wouldn't let this little bastard put a Band-Aid on for fear he'd kill me. Then there's, generally speaking, there's, there's the story of gun sales in the United States, because Obama's going to get your guns. And then, well, you know, I hate it that I'm constantly talking about what it takes to fund this little operation going forward on a month-to-month basis. They don't have to do that over at Liberty Council Radio. They got money coming out their ears because it's all tax-exempt, or as the song from the Chasers on Wednesday night says, and it's all tax-free. I've got that story about Liberty Council Radio somewhere in the stacks as well. But enough of that. Light up the phones if you want to, and we'll see where it takes us. Let's go to the phones right here, right now. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Listen, I was laughing with that chick with the dress.
Texana Ignorama Edwards?
No, I mean, it was just, and they had a picture of her, I guess that was in her room, and she's showing it off, and I just thought,
I feel deprived. I didn't see the picture.
You didn't see a picture?
No, I'm just a radio guy.
Shut up, man. The picture is just, wow. She was standing out in the grass in front of something. And, yeah, it was some sort of mermaid-type Confederate.
Oh, you mean with, like, the tapers down to the ankles and then sort of like one of those things that Tina Louise wore on Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, sort of. I don't know if it had, but it just looked like it was going that direction. I just couldn't believe, some 18 years. It just was pathetic and just disturbing,
Well, now you've got me looking. Oh, okay. So there, this is the handy thing about having a live audience in the chat room.
Oh, someone posted.
Yeah, there it is. And yeah. She done had it made special and...